ecoradio.org.
This is Eco Radio KC, a locally produced exploration of positive solutions to the ecological challenges we face as we work to create a healthier future for our community and the planet.
Good evening and welcome to Eco Radio KC. On tonight's program, Tom Nielsen joins host Craig Lubow to talk about how social protest music inspires change. And also, Tom will perform some of his environmental music. Tom provides a voice for those who believe in the power of folk music to affect change. But first, I'm Mike Murphy with your headline news. Grist.org reports, it's official. Oil is making its way through the Dakota Access Pipeline. Energy Transfer Partners, the company that built the pipeline, reported last Monday that oil is now under Lake Oahe in North Dakota. The surrounding area, which includes burial sites and drinking water sources, is sacred to the Standing Rock and Cheyenne River Sioux tribes. The company is prepping the full pipeline to go online. On March 18th, a judge denied yet another request from tribes to halt use of the pipeline. That ruling cleared the way for Energy Transfer Partners to pump in crude oil once construction was finished. Soon after the ruling, there were acts of vandalism and coordinated physical attacks on the pipeline, like burn damage in Iowa and South Dakota, the company said. The Sioux have filed several legal challenges to the pipeline, but the main case may not see resolution until May. Numerous tribes have charged that the pipeline violates environmental, treaty, and cultural rights. If a legal challenge is successful, the $3.8 billion project could be taken offline. My people are here today because we have survived in the face of the worst kind of changes, said Cheyenne River Sioux Tribal Chair Harold Frazier. The fact that oil is flowing under our life-giving waters is a blow, but it hasn't broken us. And Manchester.uk reports that graphene oxide membranes have attracted considerable attention as promising candidates for new filtration technologies. Now the much sought-after development of making membranes capable of sieving common salts has been achieved. New research demonstrates the real-world potential of providing clean drinking water for millions of people who struggle to access adequate, clean water sources. The new findings from a group of scientists at the University of Manchester were published in the journal Nature Nanotechnology. Previously, graphene oxide membranes have shown exciting potential for gas separation and water filtration. Graphene oxide membranes developed at the National Graphene Institute have already demonstrated the potential of filtering out small nanoparticles, organic molecules, and even large salts. Until now, however, they couldn't be used for sieving common salts used in desalination technologies, which requires even smaller sieves. As the effect of climate change continues to reduce modern cities' water supplies, wealthy modern countries are also investing in desalination technologies. Following the severe floods in California, major wealthy cities are looking increasingly to alternative water solutions. And Yale University reports that forests have long been seen as important sinks or storage sites for greenhouse gases. But scientists recently discovered that tree trunks emit methane, a powerful greenhouse gas at least 25 times more potent than carbon dioxide in the short time. The discovery comes from researchers at the University of Delaware who measured methane output from soils, individual trees, and decomposing woody biomass lying on a forest floor in Northeast Maryland over a 10-month period. Using a mobile greenhouse gas analyzer, the University of Delaware researchers found that while forest soils suck up and store methane, tree trunks actually release the gas. They also found that different tree species release it at different rates. One theory they posed was that the internal rotting or infection inside the tree trunk could cause the methane leaks. The findings were published recently in the journal Ecosystems. When people develop ecosystem to global scale methane budgets, there's always a chunk in which it is uncertain from where that methane is coming, says the University of Delaware doctoral student Daniel Warner, lead author of the study. Methane emissions by vegetation and tree trunks are seen as a newly considered source that might bring the budget close to our estimates. And that's about does it for the news, except this past Saturday, Missouri State Representative Brandon Ellington held a town hall at Lucille Bluford Library about the leaking gas station at 31st and Cleveland. That's been an issue in that neighborhood for 10 years. And I had a chance to catch up with Representative Ellington earlier today, so let's hear that. Okay, I have on the phone with me Missouri State Representative Brandon Ellington. Mr. Ellington held a town hall on Saturday about the gas leaks at the gas station at 31st and Cleveland. Is that where it is, Representative Ellington?
Yeah, no, that's where it originated at.
So can you tell us take a couple minutes to tell us about the town hall and why, what's going on there?
All right, well, I did the town hall this Saturday, and it's a series of town hall meetings I'm going to be doing to get people to sign up and to get more of the area identified as far as the contamination. The contamination originated in 2006, but the ground and this gas plumes and the pipes and all type of stuff that people need to be aware of.
So is the gas station is not currently operating, is it?
No, the gas station is currently operating. The original incident had a pinhole size head inside of the underground storage tank for the gasoline. It leaked out. Inner City Oil is the gas station. They have fixed the underground tank, but the contamination is still in the ground. And when I was talking about the gas plumes, it actually transformed from just liquid and soil contamination. So now you have it in the gas form was inside the sewer pipes.
Wow. Wow. Well, that sounds frightening. So how did the town hall go? Tell us who was there.
The town hall went good. I had representatives from DNR, Department of Natural Resources, and also people from the State Department of Health and Senior Services. They was pretty much there to give people information as far as the contamination that they can talk about. Some of the issues they can't talk about because it's a current lawsuit with the state of Missouri. So I wanted to make sure I supplement it with information that I know I could give because I'm not part of the lawsuit in any way, shape, or form. And they was also there to sign people up. And what I mean to sign people up, they're actually Department of Natural Resources. If you contact their office, they will come out. They will survey your house. They'll run a couple of tests to see if they can find benzene or any contamination in the air. And they also have some equipment where they can do some testing on your plumbing pipes to see if you have leaks where you actually have some of the contamination, some of the gas flowing coming through your house.
Well, that's great. It sounds like you've got bringing all the pieces together to finally deal with this issue that's been going on for way too many years. Is this on the EPA's radar at all, do you know?
It is on the EPA's radar. From my understanding, the EPA hasn't gotten involved yet, and that will be partially due to the lawsuits that the Attorney General currently has with Zill LLC, which is the underlying company of Inner City Oil. So they are on the radar. I've also requested a federal cancer cluster study. But in order to get the federal cancer cluster study done, I have to show abundance of evidence as far as documentation of people that have contacted cancer. So I requested a few other source documents from new cancer cases, et cetera, to actually get those numbers because the state has a lapse between 2013 and now with verified numbers. They have unverified numbers, but they haven't had a chance to verify the numbers yet.
Oh, very well. So what's the next thing the public can look forward to? Is there going to be another town hall, or what are you looking for?
Yeah, I'll be putting another town hall together within the next few months. What I've been telling people is to contact my office if they smell gas, which is brandon.ellington@house.mo.gov, and also to contact the Department of Natural Resources. What I've been doing is tracking emails. So I've been asking people to either email me and I'll send it to the department, or CC me when they send it to the department. That might, way my office can have a record of it. And we actively are working with the departments to make sure people are getting as much assistance as we can give them currently.
Okay. Representative Ellington, I know you're really busy. In fact, you're on your way to a committee meeting in Jeff City right now. So I appreciate you taking a couple minutes of your time to update us.
No, it's no problem.
All right. Good luck to you.
I know. Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. Bye-bye. And that was recorded earlier today. We're hoping to have that town hall. KKFI's Jeff Humfeld was on hand and recorded it. So we're hoping to have on the bulk of that on next week's Eco Radio KC program. Now I'm going to turn it over to Craig Lubo. Hi, Craig.
Okay, thank you, Mike. My guest today is Tom Nielsen. And Tom likes to be known as a farm boy with a guitar who likes a good ball game and human rights. He's a singer, he's a songwriter, and sings. He feels like he's providing a voice for those who believe in the power of folk music to affect change, and combines art with activism. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you, Craig.
Right, so we're going to talk about, of course, you sing about different social issues, the environment and anti-war and other stuff, but we're going to focus on the environment today. Tell us about how you got involved and how long have you been doing music and singing about the environment?
Well, about the environment per se, I don't know. I started singing about everything in the 60s, and I'm sure somewhere along the way in, you know, environment songs I wrote. I wrote songs about where I grew up, and that involved a lot of DDT and stuff that they gave us to put on our fields, and that killed the bunnies and the woodchucks and birds. And so we were, exposed to a lot of the misinformation and misapplication of government, as it were, you know, from, with my cognition, from the 50s, you know. And I've just always been writing. And I began, recording probably in the mid-80s, mid to late 80s. But the environment songs, they just always were there.
Okay. And so one of your songs you perform about Standing Rock.
Mm-hmm.
What is your interest in Standing Rock, and how did you come to write a song about
that?
Well,
Standing Rock is an excellent microcosm of what happens around the globe. I left the U.S. in 1970 and spent most of the next two decades in Central South America, Africa, and worked in Europe for a bit, Asia. And what the U.S. did with this pipeline project is just to essentially, through their own entitlement, to assume control of this land that by treaty is not theirs, and to claim it. And when people participated in a very rightful and legal protest, the U.S. government had its way. When I say U.S. government, I mean the corporations that run the government had their way to, and they're laying that pipeline now, as Mike just said on the news, under the lake in North Dakota. And that's what the U.S. does in other countries. You know, if we want something, if we want food, farmers get displaced from that land, and the agribusiness corporations go in, they take possession. That's supported by putting in a proxy government. With that proxy government's militarized element, and if necessary, the U.S. uses its own armed forces. I mean, we have close to 900 bases, somewhere between 800 and 900 military bases around the world. And those bases are there to secure resource extraction and control of labor around the world. And this is something I've seen repeatedly in my travels. And so when Standing Rock happened, it was, you know, this is exactly what is happening all around the world, and people resist it and people fight against it. And a lot of the people who fight against these occupations are then labeled terrorists, or in the 80s they were guerrillas. Now terrorists is the common word to describe someone who is in opposition to this exceptionalism that we profess to take over someone else's land and their resources, their labor.
And so the song you wrote is called Echoes of Wounded Knee.
Right.
And are there other songs you wrote about the Standing Rock too? Is that the
No. In the fall, I was touring in the Northwest, and I was asked to do a couple benefits for Standing Rock. And so that's... And I had been wanting to write a song, and I said, well, I guess I better write the song now because I'm doing some benefits. And so that's what the song was written last fall.
All right, so let me have you go ahead and perform that for us.
A handful of people prayed by the river on ancestral ground. Protectors of the earth, air, and water, in peace they gathered round. Spirit Resistance Radio, school and market where you can go. Cook shack, showers, first aid tent, music, horses, resident. Dakota Access Security thinks they're the 7th Cavalry. Orb O'Connor and his deputies. Birmingham in 63. Pipeline caterpillar blades destroying prairie loam. Just like caterpillar blades destroying Palestine home. This story's generations old, back in old uranium gold. At Standing Rock and Cannonball, they'll keep taking till they take it all. From Crazy Horse to Leonard Peltier, armored cars and riot gear. They won't drive us away with fear. Wounded Knee whispers in my ear. Obama says his strategy, authority of TPP. Hillary has nothing to say. She wants that pipeline coming our way. Jill Stein came and signed her name. She won't be part of that corporate shame. Extinction's coming with oil and gas. 7 generations on, say this pipeline ain't gonna pass. At Standing Rock we stand our ground. Soldiers, cops, and dogs surround. You can tear my skin and burn my face, but we ain't gonna leave this place. Treaties broken repeatedly, 1851 Fort Laramie. Dog attackers all go free, but arrest us for corn and willow trees. The Constitution's been replaced by shotguns, handcuffs, clubs, and mace. a tank and chopper circling round, body slamming to the ground. LRADs and MRAPs, concussion grenades, the U.S. military invades. Shooting horses and tasers apparently are okay with Obama, Trump, HRC. From Crazy Horse to Leonard Peltier, armored cars and riot gear, they will drive us away with fear. Wounded knee whispers in my ear. You can tear my skin and burn my face, but we ain't gonna leave this place.
All right, thank you, Tom. We are going to take a quick break here for a couple messages, and when we return, we do have Tom Nelson here performing environmental music.
This week, we're thinking about the bomb, the moral questions it raised when it was created in the 1940s, and the religious objections it raises today.
We've attained this power, this destructive power, but we have not attained perfection or a godlike control of that power.
That's next time on Interfaith Voices.
Tuesday at noon, right before the Jazz Disciple.
On the next Radioactive Magazine, an interview with four KC Democratic Socialists of America members. The DSA is the largest socialist organization in the United States and the principal U.S. affiliate of the Socialist International. DSA's members are building progressive movements for social change while establishing an open democratic socialist presence in American communities and politics. Plus, we will also have an interview with retired postal worker Pat Fisher, who is the victim of four episodes of gun violence during his career as a mail carrier. That's Radioactive Magazine, Tuesday at 6 p.m.
Dams, balancing the good and the bad on this current cast. Depending on the need, dams can create a reservoir to hold water, protect from floods, or generate clean electricity. But a dam physically blocks migrating fish and changes the overall biology of the life in the river by changing the natural water flow. Laura Wisland with the Union of Concerned Scientists says it's not the size of the dam that matters.
The larger dam that creates ways for fish passage and releases water with a flow cycle that mimics the natural flow cycle that could end up having much fewer environmental impacts than a smaller dam that's poorly managed.
So design and management are of utmost importance when it comes to minimizing environmental risks. Current Cast is produced in partnership with Cornell's Atkinson Center for a Sustainable Future. Learn more online at currentcast.org.
All right, this is Craig Lubo, and thank you for staying with us. We do have Tom Nelson here. And let's talk about the endocrine song, and your, because that relates to your farming experience. Let me have you talk about the background of that.
Well, the Endocrine Disruptor song is rooted in... I wrote this when Obama became president, and he put Vilsack in as ag secretary, and Michael Taylor, who had been a vice president for Monsanto, became head of USDA making food policy in this country. And I says, you know, this is crazy, because... this is all bioengineering, and this is what is ultimately, through Monsanto and the glyphosate and the Roundup and all sorts of toxic products, the organophosphates that we still use, that we know are harmful to the environment, that are in our food, that get in us. There's a lot of research now that's making the connection between glyphosate and cancers, but beyond that, we're talking about what these chemicals are doing to the bees, doing to the butterflies, doing to our pollinators that we need for our food supply. I have a fairly extensive garden. I have no grass. It's all ground cover. It's thyme. It's other assorted flowering, short growth ground covers. And up till last year, I couldn't walk in my sandals even because I might catch a bee between my toes and my sandals. I had so many bees and butterflies with the flowers and the milkweed. Last year, they were hardly noticeable. The monarchs, I literally saw maybe three or four monarchs, and the bees are disappearing too, and it's not just my garden. If people are paying attention, it's across the country, and I would guess globally that the bees and butterflies are disappearing. And the more we use these poisons, let me back up just a bit. The UN just the other day said that Fukushima was an extinction event. Well, or an extinction happened. An extinction event, I think, is how they phrased it. Well, it was an extinction event 6 years ago in a time of extinction. And every time you spray glyphosate or some organophosphate or that is an extinction, a practice of extinction. That is accelerating. Every tree that we cut now that compromises carbon sequestration is an extinction event. It is that serious, because it's a matter now, how fast do you want to do this? And so I wrote this song when they start coming out with that Monsanto is in charge of our food supply, and Hillary, of course, worked for Monsanto at the Rose Law Firm, you know, and then she became Secretary of State, and so that's where it came from. You know, with my music, having lived outside the States for as long as I have, the news we get in this country is pretty fabricated. In fact, there's a word, it's called agnotology, which is the intentional confusion or misinforming of people to either, like, sell a product or to have people think a certain way. And we definitely have that in this country in a variety of ways.
Maxine Waters, from representative from California, uses, which is dumbing down of America.
Well, you know, when you say that, the research that's just been done, I'm trying to remember where this, these researches were, the brain damage from chemicals like lead and mercury, the organophosphates, the pesticides, they have measured it to 16.9 million IQ points in our children. I can get you this article if you want. And the relationship between the ADHD, autism, the accelerate. Why has autism accelerated so much in the last 50 years? And chemical sensitivities that we have, that has seems to have accelerated as well. To me, it points at all the spraying and all the applications and the use. You know, and when I talked about the DDT, that was outlawed. We knew it was poisonous. The government knew it was poisonous. It was finally outlawed in 72. But in those next 20 years outside the States, I could find the paraquat, the DDT, the malathion, all stuff made in the USA, no labels on it. Because there was the international market, you know, in countries where there wasn't an EPA, and we kind of barely have an EPA that's doing environmental enforcement, you know, and so that's where Endocrine Disruptor came from.
All right, so let me have you go ahead and do that song.
All right, you know, if you want to jump on board and sing, that's fine too. I love it when people sing with me. So anybody listening, my folks back home, they'll jump on board and sing. Are you eating an endocrine disruptor at beginning and the end of day? For breakfast, lunch, and supper, served up by the FDA. They call it biotechnology, Some Roundup ready with a little BT. Are you eating an endocrine disruptor served up by the FDA? Are you eating an endocrine disruptor? Obama's brought it to your plate. The best Monsanto offers a little gene splicing with some glyphosate, with Vilsack and Taylor making policy to make billions off of you and me. Are you eating an endocrine disruptor served up by the FDA? Austria, New Zealand, and Bulgaria, Switzerland say no. Russia, France, Australia don't want GMO. Ireland, Japan, and Hungary, Greece, Peru, and Germany. Are you eating an endocrine disruptor served up by the FDA? Pancreas, thyroid, liver and kidneys, adrenal, intestinal, testes and ovaries, pineal, pituitary, bone, skin and heart. With hormone disruptors, they fall apart. Why is there nothing on the label? What don't they want you to know about what is going on the table? It's not the way food used to grow. A little disruption of your endocrine, an introduction to a carcinogen. Are you eating an endocrine disruptor served up by the FDA? Now, Hillary's an endocrine disruptor. Of this I have concern. With food, we cannot trust her. She worked for Monsanto at the Rose Law Firm. She says she's the people's candidate. That means the people's poison must be glyphosate. Are you eating an endocrine disruptor served up by the FDA? Are you eating an endocrine disruptor served up by the FDA?
Hey, thank you, Tom, for that great song.
You're welcome.
Let's talk about, you had mentioned forest before, and
You've
got a song called Clear Cutting the Trees.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, I've always thought that that's one piece that some of the environmental organizations haven't focused on enough as it relates to global warming, because they're focused on what we're putting out in carbon dioxide, which is probably half of the piece that we need to look at. But the other half is taking down the forest, which is what helps to clean up.
That's right.
That. So let me have you talk about that song.
Well, in Western Mass, we have the Quabbin Reservoir, which is a water supply for the eastern part of the state. They came out to Western Mass and flooded out some villages so they could have water in Boston. And that, you know, we can't even go hiking in the Quabbin, because we might pollute the drinking water. Yet they go in with all this heavy equipment, and they don't call it clear cuts, they call it patch cuts. So if you take an aerial view of the Quabbin, there's all these sections of clear cut trees, but it's they take everything out that's there, and you know they're worried about it. We can't go in because there's eagles nesting, and they're going in with all this heavy equipment, just taking down the trees. So they don't seem to be too worried about the birds. or fouling the water supply with all the emissions that come off this heavy equipment. But what you say is right, that we, and what Michael said in the news earlier, is that we need these trees. I mentioned that, or maybe I talked with you earlier about the biomass incinerators that we stopped. We've stopped four of them, three of them in Western Mass and one of them in Southern New Hampshire, which is burning wood, cutting down trees to burn wood in incinerators that are only 18% efficient. So 82% of every tree goes up the chimney and then spreads all this particulate matter, aerosolizes all this that people breathe in, and you've got asthma, you've got cardio, you've got all these illnesses that can attribute to. And we're losing the sequestration at the same time. And so it is a lose-lose situation. Very, very inefficient, but somewhere cash registers ring. Somewhere, and actually this was being sold as green energy when these biomass incinerators are 50% more dirty, 50% dirtier than an equivalently sized coal.
All right, so let me have you do that song for us.
So this is clear cutting the trees, and I don't know if DO is listening. I'm part of an environment program at home, and DO, my friend who's one of the hosts on that show, the Environmental Show, and I think you two programs should get together. He's the one who asked me to write this when he told me they were going into the Quabbin and clear cutting. I went down there, actually, the Quabbin once, and I asked him about it, and he says, no, we're not clear cutting the trees. It's patch cutting. We're very careful what we take out. You can't go for a hike in the Quabbin, 'cause you might disturb habitat. And a water system people are sipping, and you might be disturbing that. Water supply, can you tell me why you pollute with oil and gas, with every truck that passes, tearing up the ground till erosion's the sound of the soil flowing down when they clear cut the trees. They're clear cutting the trees. DCR does as they please when they clear cut our trees. Motorboats leave a petroleum slick. If that's water protection, they're thick as a brick. Who are they kidding with all of their skidding? Heat up the earth with their dollar sign bidding. And what about the eagles nesting there? When you cut down the trees, will they nest in the air and breathe in the CO2 rising there when they clear cut the trees? They're clear cutting the trees. They're clear cutting the trees. DCR does as they please when they clear cut our trees. It's the Commonwealth Department of cut and run through stone walls and wetlands to oblivion. With the turtles and the burrows and the deer and the cats, don't talk to me about habitat. They clear cut on the hill down to the water line. Cut till they get their fill, cut for the dollar sign. Cut the forest floor, and for a few dollars more, they cut till there's nothing to cut anymore. They're clear cutting the trees. They're clear cutting the trees. DCR does as they please when they clear cut our trees. Trees are the lungs of the earth, and the soil is the guts, and you eviscerate the body with your ruts and your cuts to make pallets and burn up in biomass plants for a fistful of cash. The earth has no chance in the midst of climate chaos. This is a crime to lose carbon sequestration. The gov says is fine, 'cause what's a little shade when there's money to be made? The sink's extinction with one more centigrade. They're clear cutting the trees. They're clear cutting the trees. DC
FCR does as they please when they clear cut our trees. They're clear cutting the trees. They're clear cutting the trees. DCR does as they please when they clear cut our trees. They're clear cutting the trees.
Hey, thank you, Tom. Thank you. We are ready to do our second break. And we'll be back in just a couple minutes with Tom Nielsen.
Laverne Cox.
We have this cultural violence, this structural violence that is stemmed in misgendering. And I believe the biggest obstacle facing the trans community are points of view that disavow our identities, points of view that suggest that we are always and only the gender we were assigned at birth.
Alternative Radio, Wednesday morning at 9.
On the Thursday night special this week, a special performance by the River and Prairie Story Weavers. You never know what to expect from this band of veteran storytellers weaving yarns that range from the ridiculous to the sublime, from the hilarious to the tear-jerking. Nothing beats a good story well told. That's River and Prairie Story Weavers, Thursday at 7 p.m. on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. There are many ways to reduce global warming pollution, from saving energy to eating less red meat. But some students say there's a more effective strategy.
We're asking to level the playing field and let the free market solve this problem.
That's Chandler Green, a graduate student at American University. She's part of the Put a Price on It campaign, which mobilizes students nationwide to support a carbon tax. The idea is that companies would pay for the carbon pollution they emit. This would increase the cost of burning fossil fuels.
When we account for the full costs of fossil fuels, so those are costs that we pay for air and water pollution, costs that we pay from global warming impacts, when we raise the price of carbon to account for those costs, we would then level the playing field for clean energy. We encourage growth there, and thus we reduce harmful emissions.
Through political advocacy, media outreach, and campus organizing, Green and her peers hope to see this idea catch on. She says the effects of global warming are going to fall heavily on her generation, so she and other students are motivated to act.
We have a role to play. We have a sense of agency.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
All right, we're back with Tom Nielsen, and we're doing environmental music tonight. Tom, let's talk about your song 1200 Leaks, and that's about pipelines. Mm-hmm. And we had talked earlier in the news about leaking underground tanks. Mm-hmm. That now we're going to shift and talk about the pipelines.
Well, preface this by saying these pipelines, I mentioned the Northeast Direct that withdrew their permit trying to go across Western Massachusetts. They say that they need these pipelines to provide us better service, to give us more gas. But all these pipelines are for export. They have nothing to do with providing gas for local people. And I don't have the source, but I can get you the source for this if any of the listeners want it. But people started researching how many leaks just in Western Massachusetts, and there is a site that is monitoring leaks, pipeline leaks, all around the country. And there is a figure that I don't have in my head, the amount of gas that we are losing through pipeline leaks. And in Western Mass, we have 1,200 of them. And sometimes they blow up. In fact, we were in New York City in East Harlem the day when about three blocks away from where Lynn's sister lives, there was an explosion from a pipeline leak. So, being one who likes to document what's going on around me, I had to write the song. It's called 1200 Leaks.
All right.
And it's a frolicky song, but this is a serious situation. Because all these leaks, The cost gets passed on to the consumer. The consumers are paying for the lost gas. Just a footnote about that. There's something leaking in Springfield, leaking in Western Mass. Something's leaking in Springfield, leaking natural gas. There's 1,200 leaks a-leaking, and you breathe it in the air. 42 miles of pipeline, lying in disrepair. Now they want to build more pipelines, they say for more capacity. But these pipelines they're a-building ain't for you and me. If they really were concerned about supplying us with gas, then why they got 1,200 leaks leaking in Western Mass? It's a matter of public safety with methane flammability. Protect our health and ecosystem from a calamity. How long did Columbia Gas know those lines were leaking there? They say 20 years to fix them while they keep leaking everywhere. There's 6,000 leaks a-leaking in Washington, D.C. 4.25 leaks a mile in Manhattan, NYC. Escaping into sewer lines and ventilator shafts, stairwells and subway systems, waiting for the blast. Two buildings blow up in the village, two more blow up town. Who's the next to blow away from leaking underground? Now it's methane that is leaking, but language they employ, and they call it natural gas as a marketing ploy. And it's 80 times as potent as regular CO2. 80 times quicker for climate disruption to accrue. Porter Ranch in LA and San Bruno in the Bay took out a neighborhood and 8 people in its way. Now they want to build more pipelines, they say for more capacity. But these pipelines they're a-building are just to export LNG. There's something leaking in Springfield, leaking in Western Mass. 1,200 leaks a-leaking, leaking methane gas. 1,200 leaks a-leaking, leaking methane gas.
Hey, thank you for that. We have there another song you wrote, Snow in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to have time to play that song, but if you want to tell us a little bit about that song and what your website is so that people can go to that and listen to it.
All right. In 1917, there was a diphtheria outbreak in Nome, Alaska, and the only way they could get the medicine there was by dog sled. And so to commemorate that, several years later, they started the Iditarod Run, which people probably have heard about. It's a 9-day trip from Anchorage to Nome. But what people may not know about is that last year they couldn't run it. They couldn't start it because they didn't have any snow. This is in Alaska, usually at this time of year in February. Recognize that we're in April, certainly, that they have about 60 inches of snow. And they didn't have any. And so they brought the snow in from 400 miles away by train so they could do the first leg of the run from Anchorage to Willow and then resumed it with snow that had fallen. But that's the snow. I mean, if people are wondering about climate change, go to Alaska. And I've heard that the snow is very sketchy this year, too.
Same here locally. It's been barely noticeable. So let's move into, after we have the calendar, we're going to have the song that we'll play going out is Losing Louisiana. So if you can spend about 1 minute just telling
us
that.
Very quickly, all of the drilling and the dredging, and you may have seen pictures of this online, but Louisiana is losing a football field an hour. There's that much land that is being sunk away, and it's caused by the dredging to make this waterway for tankers going into the harbor. It's 16 square miles a year of Louisiana coast, the bayous, people who lived in these places who no longer live there because these towns that were bayou towns that are no longer on the map. This is land that is gone and ain't coming back. And that's what we're going out with.
Okay, so that will be up next after Mike does the calendar. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you very much for inviting me.
That was terrific. Thanks, guys. That was a wonderful program. And we've got a few events courtesy of Natural E. She sent these to me. So there's a backyard chicken keeping class on April 8th from 9 to noon. That's on Saturday at Powell Gardens. And find out more at powellgardens.org or call 816-697-2600. April 12th is Lobby Day in Jeff City for the Sierra Club. Talk to legislators. They'll begin at 10 a.m. Be in Hearing Room 7 in the basement of the Missouri Capitol Building at 9:50 a.m. We should be finished by 3 a.m. They should be finished by 3 a.m. If you are interested in being part of a carpool or able to join, you can register at sierraclub.org. And also, if you have any questions or anything, you can call Michael Berg at 314-644-1011 or email him at michael.berg@sierraclub.org. And then also on April 18th, there is a presentation on public lands in Missouri. We got three new state parks in Missouri last year, and we'll learn all about them at the Anita B. Gorman Discovery Center on Tuesday, April 18th from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. No RSVP needed, but it does help. So if you can do that, do so at the Sierra Club. And then People's Climate March on April 29th. The local march is being held in concert with the National People's Climate March in Washington, D.C. The local one will be from 1 to 3 at Washington Square Park at Pershing and Grand. More info and RSVPing at actionnetwork.org or Meetup or Facebook. And that about does it for our event. And we're going to go out with Tom's song, Losing Louisiana. And again, a reminder, next week we're planning on airing the town hall that was recorded this past Saturday that Brandon Ellington did with regard to the gas station continuing problems at 31st in Cleveland. Here's Tom's Losing Louisiana.
We're losing Louisiana, a football field an hour. 16 square miles a year is dredging, drill, devour. We're losing Louisiana to the oil and the gas. and profit maximizing the companies can amass. We're losing Louisiana and it ain't coming back. Melt water from the glaciers, carry topsoil and sand. 7,000 years to build and raise the land. A wetlands ecosystem growing plants and trees. Marshes and decay at the soil fertility, but it only took a lifetime. They didn't think, and with all the engineering, the land began to sink, and we're losing Louisiana, and it ain't coming back. We're losing Louisiana, let the good times roll. Drowning all the bayous in the Gulf of Mexico. Cypress swamps and mangroves, a sink will suck away. Cattle pastures, backyards disappearing every day. Oh, my great foundations, row after row. Ile de Jean Charles feels an undertow. We're losing Louisiana and it ain't coming back. We're losing Louisiana for a shipping corridor. Towns and wetlands off the map where they'd been before. Losing Louisiana for our economy. Pipelines bringing 90% of energy. The Gulf is home to half the country's refineries. 2 million people getting caught in the squeeze. We're losing Louisiana and it ain't coming back. Oh, we're losing Louisiana and it ain't coming back. Oh, we're losing Louisiana and it ain't coming back.
This week, we're thinking about the bomb, the moral questions it raised when it was created in the 1940s, and the religious objections it raises today.
We've attained this power, this destructive power, but we have not attained perfection or a godlike control of that power.
That's next time on Interfaith Voices.
Tuesday at noon, right before the Jazz Disciple.
Arts KC is Kansas City's regional arts council, working to unleash the power of the arts for the benefit of our community. Arts KC's programs support, promote, and advocate for the entire arts sector. Learn more at artskc.org. This message, a public service of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Thanks for listening to Eco Radio KC on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.